The following program is presented by the Far East Broadcasting Company because stories of people living out the gospel with their lives inspire all of us. FEBC, taking Christ to the world through radio and new media. Learn more at febc.org.
God is at work in our cities. I have no doubt about that. The church, in a sense, I think, is rediscovering incarnational ministry in urban communities. I think in very creative, prayerful ways.
A heart for the city is what you'll hear about on this edition of First Person. Welcome, I'm Wayne Shepherd. Dr. John Feuder is giving his life to help the church in the inner city, and we'll get to know him and his calling in just a moment. First Person is a weekly program introducing you to people whose lives have been changed by Jesus Christ, and they, in turn, are taking that message of hope to others. Please take a few moments to download our free smartphone app, giving you immediate access to all of our online interviews. Just search for First Person Interview in your app store. And a special word of thanks to the Far East Broadcasting Company for helping make First Person possible. FEBC is all about spreading the gospel message. It reaches nearly 50 countries with its programs, both on radio and on the internet. And you can learn more about this broadcast ministry, soon to be 75 years old, at febc.org. Again, that's febc.org. Dr. John Feuder is the founder and director of Heart for the City. His calling is to teach and engage others to reach our cities with the gospel, and he came to the studio recently to introduce us to his calling.
So Heart for the City is a ministry that was shaped about 8-9 years ago now. I had had the privilege of teaching for many years at the old Moody Graduate School, now the Moody Theological Seminary, and pouring into some choice students, helping them understand God's heart for the city, the way Scripture speaks into that, God's concern for the poor, the orphan, the stranger, the widow. It was part of an urban ministries degree that was core to the old Moody Grad School. And so that included time in class, certainly biblical base, but then a lot of praxis applications, the city as a lab, speaking of Chicago now, the nations, being out with students, helping them understand what it was to see ways to engage urban communities, neighborhoods, diverse needs, and so forth. So in some transition from Moody, some colleagues came alongside of me and said, John, so much of what was born really in trying to equip Moody students to serve the needs of cities like Chicago and any others around the world, let's frame that into a ministry that, in essence, helps churches engage their communities. And so a lot of that time is doing training, sort of coaching, I guess, in a way. I don't know if consulting is the word. Helping pastors, associate pastors, elders, deacons better understand their context, learn how to kind of read their block, their streets, their community, their neighborhood, their suburb. And then find ways, obviously, for Scriptures to speak into that, but practical ways that the church can serve the needs of their community. And so that has taken me to many, many different cities.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is fascinating to me, but everything we're going to talk about applies to any city in the country, right?
It does. And a lot of those connections, really, initially were through a lot of former Moody students that were like, hey, Doc, you poured into me in class. Here I am pastoring a church now in such and such a city. Would you come and help our church better understand how to engage the community? Moody Publishers came alongside me a number of years ago and put a book together called Neighborhood Mapping. In essence, it's community analysis, how to diagnose needs in your community. And that becomes like a framework where we literally just spend a good part of a day, call it engage, and walk right through the principles in that book to help people discover like persons of peace in their community, Luke 10. Find ways that they can partner together with maybe other kindred-hearted church pair churches, discover specific gaps or holes or places where the church has not been very vibrant, present. And a lot of it is just helping people, I think, better understand ways to see need around them. It's partly where it's not just where you have to go somewhere to do something, but literally the backyard, the context right around
where you are.
The
fields are waiting to harvest.
You said that. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of it is just assisting churches to do that.
Yeah. Yep. Well, obviously, I want to learn a whole lot more about Heart for the City and what you're doing, John. And by the way, we call you Doc.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
Well, you know, that actually started with a number of my African-American students. So I started teaching at Moody in the early 90s and was privileged. There was a season where Moody had evening school classes. This is before the seminary now had begun. A lot of us were asked to teach in that. And I discovered, much to my great delight, that the majority of the students were African-American, Wayne. That was like, wow. And they were all practitioners engaged, often in a lot of under-resourced neighborhoods. Yeah,
a lot of mutual love came about, didn't it?
Yes, sir. And God really knit our hearts together. I asked them to kind of coach me up, be my teacher, so to speak, to better understand some of these needs in neighborhoods. And I'm dating myself, though, but the little Bugs Bunny phrase, "What's up, Doc?" that kind of became a thing, "What's up, Doc?" And after a while, it just it became like a love language, like a handle. And ironically, most of my colleagues were all Dr. So-and-so, you know. But it just became Doc, a term of affection,
okay.
I guess.
All right. So we call you Doc Feuder.
Yeah, I cherish that. All it has right. a lot of memories to it.
Well, before we talk more about Heart for the City, I want your personal story, because there's an incongruity here. You didn't have any connection with the city in your early life, did you?
I didn't. So I was raised in Little Holland, Michigan, and a little Dutch community, little enclave that was I mean, it was a very wholesome place to grow up. So I'm 62 years old. It was like a beaver cleaver lifestyle, as it were, you know. But I mean, what I didn't see, though, Wayne, didn't see a lot of need, didn't see a lot of diversity, hardly at all. My memory as a boy growing up in 1968 was the Detroit Tigers won the World Series.
I remember that well. I was a Michigander, too.
Yeah, there you go. But you know what was happening, too, both in Detroit and Chicago? There was so much civil unrest, mm-hmm. rioting.
That's right.
It was just off the rails for me. So for a variety of circumstances, God brought to our little Baptist church we were attending a former missionary who he had such a passion for the lost and a love for the Lord that as a high school kid, I kind of had a sense of wanting to serve God in some way I didn't know.
You were already a follower of Christ
at
this point.
I was, yeah. I came to Christ as a boy. Okay. Yeah, I should say that. My mom's a missionary kid. My dad was with a navigator, so I had a very godly home environment. But the city was kind of off the radar. So this man had studied at a Bible college in Canada, which again was off the radar for me, a school mm-hmm. called Prairie Bible Institute, mm-hmm. which in many ways is much like Moody Bible Institute.
Yes, it is.
Just a long ways from Holland, Michigan. So off I go to study there. My roommate, my freshman year, was kind of ex-inner city everything, a Latino young man who had gone through extraordinarily broken circumstances in his journey to come to Christ. And I discovered a number of my classmates were part of a ministry called City Team based in the Bay Area of California. And this young man was part of that team. And while we were supposed to be doing our homework study, he would tell me stories of needs and the ghetto and gangs and drugs.
You didn't stand a chance, did
no,
you?
No, they had me. And so they began to say, John, you should come do this. And so missions to me began, I think, Wayne, to where you don't have to get on a plane and go somewhere. My mom had been born and raised in Mexico, but rather there was a lot of Mexican Americans, so to speak, of which this young man was one mm-hmm. with a lot of need. So that opened up the city for me, was invited to be part of that team, and ended up doing that for 15 years in Cali. Met my wife at this Bible college, Prairie. We began at that point as we were dating to say, God, if this is something that you have, not just for me, but for us, make that plain. She thrived in those years. We lived in a very under-resourced community, building relationships, forming churches. The ministry began to grow, began to recruit others like we had been recruited to come, began to discover the need to train our staff to do the things that we were learning. And that is when the point where Moody reached out to me and said, John, would you come to Chicago and teach urban ministry classes in what was the beginning of then the Moody Graduate School.
Yeah, now we know the rest of the story that happened after that.
Yep,
isn't
it
interesting how the ministry found you, in a
it
sense?
It
God
really
found
did.
You.
It really did.
Yeah, you didn't go looking for
this. No, not at all. I remember, and many of our listeners would have this experience, the very first annual missions conference at the school, standing up in the balcony in this big old tabernacle, basically saying, anywhere, anytime, any place, God, I will be your man. And the man who had come to speak was Dr. Stuart Briscoe, who is known to many.
Yes.
And he did that infamous man in the gap message out of Ezekiel 22. God sought for a man who would stand in the gap, build up the wall.
You're bringing a chill to me right now thinking
man.
Of that message.
And I stood and said, God, I was all of 19 years old, maybe still 18. I want to be that. And at that point, I think there was this process of seeing the city through his eyes a little more clearly and understanding that that was going to be the landscape, so to speak, for us. A willingness to go, probably not knowing quite what we were getting into because of so much need and drama, but an excitement of knowing in my heart of hearts that God was doing this. Doesn't get any better than that, where you know, it's kind of the phrase we say, love what you do, never work a day of your life.
Sure.
That really has been my testimony. For this is the 40-year anniversary of ministry for my wife and I this summer. And it has been doing urban ministry, pouring urban ministry into students, engaging churches to do that in cities all across this nation, internationally. So it's kind of the same heartbeat, just taking shape in different forms.
It's been interesting to learn that the principles that we're going to talk about apply, of course, to urban ministry and suburban ministry.
They do.
Because the suburbs are changing, too.
They are.
And rural ministry at the
Very
same
much
time.
So. Very
you,
much
you found
so.
That to be true?
Yeah, yeah. In fact, there's a lot of similarity in many ways to urban ministry neighborhoods and what you would find in a small town. Because people know each other. In our city of Chicago, 77 neighborhoods, we stay in Edgewater, one of the north side neighborhoods. You know people. You know people on your street, on your block, in your building, particularly if you spend time there in a rooted way. It did remind me a little bit of growing up in this town, Holland, Michigan, although there's far more diversity in this city, yet it's very heavily relational. The suburban community, Wayne, as you know, oftentimes takes a little bit longer because of some of the gated stuff where there's a little bit more privacy built into that. You may not know your neighbors as well. But I think our listeners know that most of the needs in the city have long since spilled out into the suburbs. In fact, in our Chicago land, so to speak, there's as much, if you consider immigrant refugee populations, in a lot of our proximate suburban communities as there is in the city.
Yeah, my daughter teaches in a suburban school, public school, and I can't tell you how many languages are spoken by the children of that school.
That's true. Yeah, that's the reality. So the nations, the needs have pretty well spread throughout, whether it be town, city, suburb. And I think the principles that you said of building relationships, learning, listening, particularly when there's diversity, trying to find ways to serve those needs, discovering ways that the Bible can be practically ministered to those communities, I think they translate across town, city, suburb, for those that are motivated to want to be involved.
We'll continue talking with Doc Feuder about A Heart for the City. That's coming up in just a moment on First Person.
When I first heard the good news on the VBC's station, I tried praying to Jesus for the first time. Life is difficult, but Christ is helping me see things differently.
The Far East Broadcasting Company receives millions of responses each year from grateful listeners. FEBC is dedicated to taking Christ to the world through radio and new media. To learn more, please visit febc.org. That's febc.org. The Far East Broadcasting Company, until all have heard. My guest is John Doc Feuder. We call him Doc, and he's with Heart for the City in Chicago. And again, what we're talking about can apply to anyone, anywhere.
Yes.
It's really fascinating to learn about it. This next week will contain the National Day of Prayer. The first Thursday of each May is set aside as a National Day of Prayer. What does it mean to you, Doc?
Well, it's taken on special meaning, I would say, in recent years, Wayne, because I think many of our listeners would know that the city of Chicago has experienced a tragic amount of violence. Mm-hmm. And so a number of colleagues, friends that have been long vetted in Chicago 5-6 years ago came together and said, what if we could really pray against the violence in our city? And in front of me here as we're taping this.
Yeah, this is a well-worn copy, by the way.
The Chicago neighborhood, it is. Yeah.
And you've thumbed through this thousands of times.
We have, So we put this little booklet together to pray through all 77 neighborhoods of Chicago. And it galvanized the church to come together in a way that out of it was born a thing called Pray Chicago. In fact, it's gone beyond that to now Chicagoland United in Prayer. And so the big idea is to rally the church consistently to come together, black, brown, yellow, white, in the spirit of 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people. And so there has been special meaning, though, because the day of prayer, there's a breakfast in our city that a lot of us come together around. And we've allowed that opportunity because of the timing of it in early May. In our city, and I don't know if it's unique to many in the Midwest, when the weather starts to warm in this time, mm-hmm. Memorial Day to Labor Day has been a window where there, and sadly, there's often been quite a bit of violence. And so it sets in motion a window of time where we rally the body of Christ to pray and then become, in a sense, an answer to our own prayers. We do a thing called Hands Across Chicago that launches us on Memorial Day weekend. Thousands of Christ followers out on corners, on streets and parks as a declaration of praying blessing over our city, praying safety, praying shalom, praying for peace, for wellness. And so often the day of prayer has been sort of the annual launch of that again.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, it's taken on special meaning, I'd say, in the last 5-6 years because of this.
Our producer, Joe Carlson, has been very much involved in this.
Intricately involved from the very beginning.
And has told me all about it. So what does it mean to you personally? You've been a part of this.
Yeah.
You lead a good part of it.
Yes.
What does it mean to you in your own soul?
Well, I would say these scriptures that I just had mentioned, Wayne, throw them out quite flippantly. How often do we quote 2 Chronicles 7:14? I thought, God, how dare I begin to even invite others to be part of something that I am not giving God permission to truly get after in my own soul, so to speak? And that word if may be one of the biggest two-letter words in Scripture because it's conditional. It's as if God says, if you are desperate enough for me to be what this verse says, humble yourself, seek my face. So, and I have purpose and others like Joe, you mentioned, and others. Lord, we want to be that the answer to that. And to get after it with deeper intentionality and consistently and a sense of transparency that says, God, do whatever it takes in my life personally to enable a few of us to run point on something like this. And I think another scripture, Wayne, that is corollary with this is Jesus's prayer in John 17 mm-hmm. to his Father, that, Lord, that, you know, God, that my people would be one mm-hmm. so that the world may know. Our oneness is so that ultimately we'd be missional. And that verse has really gotten after me in recent years because I realize unity is one thing, but oneness, how far I am, we are from what it is to truly, as brothers and sisters, be one together.
You've seen that happen.
Yes.
Tell me a story.
Well, we have seen that happen in beautiful ways. So when we started Praise Chicago a number of years ago, we discovered that there was a very similar entity called Chicago Praise, primarily African American, and another Latino gathering of believers. I forget the word in Spanish when I should know this, but the imagery of en fuego, being on fire for mm-hmm. God. And so I thought the irony of Chicago Praise, Praise Chicago, our Latino friends, all ardent, passionate praying, but not
together.
No. Picture streams of prayer.
Yeah.
And my thought was, what if God could bring us together into a river of prayer? So pursued relationships with those
men.
Ministry moves on the speed of relationships. Mm-hmm. And have been able to see those streams come together into river in Chicagoland united in prayer. That was the intent of that, including certainly Praise Chicago, but winding it now in many of our suburban communities as well. And so I thought, God, for us to really say we are who we are, so to speak, John 17, we've got to do the hard work interdenominationally, socioeconomically, multi-ethnically, racially, because that's what this looks like now. And if ever you were to show up on one of these things, we just had one the end of January, it is tears in your eyes, mm-hmm. Wayne. It is just a glimpse of heaven on earth. The sweetness, yes, the prayer, the worship, but the friendships that are forming are just—
That's the oneness that Jesus was talking
it
about.
It makes you long for more.
Yeah.
And so God is on the move, and we're excited about what's ahead.
Say a bit more about the Chicago Neighborhood Prayer Guide that you're holding here,
yeah.
because not only for listeners in Chicago, but for listeners anywhere, it's a good model of how to organize a community for God's prayer purposes.
It is. So we our listeners would appreciate Operation World, Patrick Johnson, with
yes.
big, huge
book. Yeah, he's sat in your chair and
oh my
been
goodness.
With us on this
and
program.
I have
yeah.
been schooled by that globally.
Yeah.
And so when in conversation with a number of local pastors, when we began to dream dreams about could we rally the church to pray, somebody looked at me and said, Doc, you ought to kind of lean into that a bit. And I'm like, thanks a lot. And what came to mind was Operation World, but then another a dear friend, former colleague with YWAM in Chicago, had put a little booklet together called the Chicago Ethnic Prayer Guide. It was a little glimpse of where the nations lived in our neighborhoods, and I had that little booklet. So I grabbed it, and I thought, what if we could explode that out a bit with all 77 neighborhoods and get prayer points, backstory a little bit about demographics, a little bit about the neighborhood, but what would it mean to pray into that? And so we took the grid out of Psalm 122, verses 6 through 8, where there are principles in that verse that call us to pray spiritually, socially, economically, physically, and could we build prayer points for each of that? So to listeners that are not from Chicago, to encourage you, there are a number of other cities currently working on little booklets, and I can name the names of some that have already been completed. The same big idea, each city to some degree, even smaller cities, are neighborhood-based, and if you can identify enough what those look like, allow that grid, Psalm 122, to be a framework. And then the beauty of this is I reached out to many that I knew that were doing pastoral parachurch ministry in each of these neighborhoods and said, could you help us put prayer points together that would pray with insight into your community? And those relationships became deeper and tighter, and they then joined us as we began to do these prayer efforts together. So it takes a little time. It took me the entire summer of 2013 to do this booklet. It's about all I did. But wow, the benefits of it are incredible. I have seen God. It's in Spanish. We have used this thing. We've even cultivated one-minute prayers out of this called the Chicago 77 that listeners could even get to their iPhone. We're going to rerun that again this summer for 77 days. This will be the fifth time. It's amazing. We filmed B-roll in these neighborhoods, got people to voice over. So it has become a framework for a prayer movement, which my hope had been that other cities could do the same.
We have just a few seconds left. What encourages you most about our cities?
God is at work in our cities. I have no doubt about that. The church, in a sense, I think, is rediscovering incarnational ministry in urban communities. There was a bit of a silence for an extended time, I think, from conservative evangelicals. I think on the horizon is great hope because the church is reengaging the city, I think, in very creative, prayerful ways. And so I believe we are and will see even more of a harvest in the days ahead.
Doc, how can we pray for you?
I think for the wisdom, power to steward some of these kind of things. Particularly the Pray Chicago piece of it, and for Heart for the City, I think personally too, empty nest season for my wife and I, as our youngest is getting married this summer, that would be my heart cry, to continue to really serve God faithfully well and to do it with absolute joy and staying power.
I hope you will commit to pray for Doc Feuder, as well as for his ministry of equipping people to reach our cities with the message of Christ. We will, of course, place links to additional information about Heart for the City on our website, firstpersoninterview.com. Asia and Eurasia are teeming with populated cities as well as hard-to-reach rural areas. The Far East Broadcasting Company reaches deep into both with programmings that deliver God's Word with powerful results. Take a moment to learn more about this ministry at febc.org. And if you haven't already, please go to your app store and download the free app, First Person Interview. Using this convenient app is easy, allowing you to listen to or download any First Person Interview. Now, with thanks to my friend and producer Joe Carlson, I'm Wayne Shepherd. Thanks for listening to First Person.